This morning, I'm excited as we come to the conclusion of this series on vision. We've had two other previous sermons, and if you haven't had a chance to hear those, I would really just encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons as well so that you will have a bigger, greater picture of what God's been speaking over these last three sermons. And so today, we're concluding this series on vision, and I just want to remind you of what I've shared with you over the past weeks. And you know, I've been really praying that God's been speaking to you and encouraging you. I've been praying that God would speak to you as you spend time, maybe even in silence, listening for his voice. A few weeks back, we looked at where we had been in the past and where we are today, being reminded and truly giving thanks to God for all that he's been doing in us and the church as a whole year, over this whole past year. With baptisms, salvations, baby dedications, newcomers to the church, hundreds of people at our fall barbecue contest, and so much more. We also saw that part of the vision God is calling us to was really to become this people who bless others, encouraging and blessing those around us inside and outside the church, all so that God would get all the glory. Last week, I talked about the importance of following God's leading in his vision for us. We looked at Moses together and the vision that God had for his people, Israel. How God used Moses to be the instrument to see his vision fulfilled. That God has a vision for each one of us to see us fulfilled in all the great things that he has for us as his son or daughter. And that God still has a vision for his church here in Gibson's that is way beyond our earthly capabilities. Do you believe that this morning? That it will actually require similar obedience of us, just as it was required of Moses, as God spoke to him from a burning bush. The result of obedience is seeing God show up in his power with signs and wonders following. And that is absolutely phenomenal. I truly believe God's desire is that we would have the faith to believe that he truly has greater things ahead for our future. And that as we together, as his people, walk out that journey of faith with him, we will see the miraculous. We will actually see signs and wonders. That we would see God's church continue to be strengthened and healed. And many, many people outside the church will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And their lives will never be the same again. How many of you want to be part of seeing that happen here at CLA and on the Sunshine Coast? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share, God, what you've laid on my heart. And God, how you are speaking to each and every single one of us. Lord, I pray that for us today, Lord, your Holy Spirit would speak in such a powerful way that we would be able to walk away understanding and knowing more about what you have for us and knowing more about the plans that you would have for this Sunshine Coast, for this community of Gibson's. Lord, we pray that many would hear your gospel. Many would hear the good news, the message of salvation and redemption for all mankind, and that people would turn to you and that you would be our strength, you would be our Savior, and you would be our light and our guide. We just pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I've entitled today's message, The Future. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." That's in the King James Version. And that's a real familiar verse to many who have been in the church. But I like the way the New Living Translation of the Bible puts it. This is what it says. "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild." You know, running wild. I mean, that just conjures up so many pictures in our mind. This morning, I want to look at what the future or the vision is that Jesus actually has. A vision for the future that is shared in Scripture, actually. And a future that we get to be part of here at CLA. So let's take a look at three key areas that Jesus would bring our attention to in order to see where he is desiring to lead us. So number one, Jesus has a vision for the church. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the universal Big C church, the church all across the nation, the church around the world. Jesus continues to build his church. And if you look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, we read this. "Upon this rock," it says this, "upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will build my church. Jesus continues to build his church today. We realize that we, the people, are the church. We understand that. It's not the physical building. It's not that, you know, this space at 730 School Road is the physical place where God lives. He lives in each one of us. We are the church. And so we don't go to church. We are the church. But Jesus said that he will build the church. And for 2,000 years, he has continued to build his church. And he will continue to build his church until he comes again. And since the beginning of the church, you know, times have changed, cultures have changed, society has changed. But Jesus continues to build his church all over the world and right here in Gibson's. Did you know that Jesus actually loves the church? It's called the Bride of Christ. And he's coming back for his bride soon. Listen to what I have to say here. I put it up on the slide behind you. The church of Jesus is never to be stagnant. It is always to be growing because it is living, it is breathing, it is alive, moving forward. It's not supposed to just be stagnant. It's never enough to just say, hey, we're doing fine, it's okay, let's just keep the status quo. No, that's not what it's about. Jesus believed that the church is supposed to be alive and growing, and Jesus is growing his church. He's leading his church to growth. And that's why we praise and worship God when we're together, because he's alive. And his vision for the church is that it would continue to grow and multiply. And the reality is that no matter how difficult things may be, the gates of hell will never conquer the church. Let's praise God for that. Amen. Jesus' church will continue to move forward because it is established on the solid foundation of God's word. That's why it's so important to me that Jesus is glorified in this church, that he's the head of this church, that we put him at the front because he is the truth and the way and the life. The Bible is the basis for us to live our lives. And that word of God is what the church must always have as its highest authority. No person, no man, except the word of God, Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus has a vision for all creation. You know, Jesus alone, we know this, gives eternal life. It's only in Christ alone. He alone brings ultimate healing and sets us free from the bondage of sin. We can look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Again, it's up on the slide. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. His vision continues to this day to be to find those who are far from God. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what it says in the NIV. In John chapter 12, verse 46, it says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus' vision for all creation continues to be to bring hope and life to those who are dying in darkness. And that's his mission for us, is to bring the hope that we have in us as followers of Jesus, those who have been set free, those who the Lord is using and working in and growing. It's to share that life, to share that light that's in us, that is only from the Holy Spirit, that's only from God, to bring hope to those that are in darkness, whether they realize it or not. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 26 says this, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight that they, when they believe in Jesus. Amen. His vision, friends, is for all creation to be made right with God, and we are the recipients of that grace and mercy. You know, we remember that sacrifice on the cross this morning as we took of the emblems. And it's through his blood that we're made to be righteous. Well, number three is this: Jesus' vision for God's people. That Jesus has a vision for God's people, and that's us today, his church. Jesus calls us to go into in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, his vision for us as his people is to continue to take the message of freedom that is only found in Jesus Christ. This is the same message that's been shared for 2,000 years and will continue, like I said, to be shared. The church will continue. The message will continue to be shared for as many years as the Lord until he returns again. And so we need to realize that it's in these realities of God's continued plan for creation to be saved and to come into relationship with Jesus that primarily through the church that he's established that we look to a vision for the future as his church. The amazing part is that you and I get to be part of a church that's growing, and that's so exciting. Part of a church that's having new people added to it. Kids are learning about Jesus. New ministries are being planted and growing. Lives are being changed. People are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love that. So what does the future look like at CLA? Here comes the challenge. And we're stepping into a vision for the next 3 years. And so we simply called it Vision 2016. And I'm excited to share it with you today. Because we believe that if we are to accomplish what God wants to do here, we need to prepare for it, we need to resource it, and we need to pray into it. So we want to take these next 3 years to work towards fulfilling the next steps for what God has for his church in the next 10 plus years and on. Because he is not finished with his church. Friends, you got to believe that today. He's not finished with his church. He's not finished with CLA Gibson's. And since I arrived here as a pastor of this church, I've been seeking the Lord on the direction the church was to go for the years ahead. And he began telling me almost immediately, but it was about his right timing on when we were to step out in faith. It's always about the right timing. God has the right timing for us. It's not in our plans, it's in his. And through prayer and listening, the leadership of the church, and I believe that now is the time. We believe God is calling us to focus on three major vision priorities over these next 3 years as we step into the next season of the church. And these three visional priorities, they're actually related to what I just talked about, that Jesus has the vision for the church. He has a vision for us. He is building his church. And so let's look at those three major visional priorities. And here they are. Number one, to refurbish the church building and property. You know, friends, I thank God regularly for this building. It's an incredible blessing, an incredible blessing. It was planted with a vision. It was planted with a heart's desire to see God move and for people to come in and be filled with his presence and to be changed, their lives to be changed forever. I do believe it's probably the largest church building in this community right now. And there's such great potential for us to use it in different ways to see it being used for so much more. But you know, the reality is that it actually needs some major updating. You know, the vision was to see everything. The vision actually moving ahead is to see that everything from the sign out front on the street to the whole front of the building, right into the foyer, the gym, the kitchen, and the rest of the building to be much more uniform in appearance and atmosphere. We actually want this space to represent the great God that we serve. And it just needs some help. You know, it looks like I said, a new sign with our new logo and our church, our current church information. And this would look like painting and updating the front of the building, some of which was done over this past summer during our church cleanup days. I just think it just looks so much better already. The original vision behind our main meeting area being a gym was ahead of its time, actually. Most churches being built at the time this church was built were traditional sanctuaries with pews and a stage. And maybe there are times where, you know, as we set up and tear down every week, we wish there was maybe a setup like that we didn't just have to do that. But the reality is that this church was built with a vision that would be used for so much more than one meeting on a Sunday morning. And so not many of those churches today that are there today that were built when this church was built, many of those churches actually are being renovated. They're being converted to be look more like this church so that they'd be more open and useful spaces like we already have, believe it or not. And, you know, we've been able to use this space for so much. I think of the badminton, that ministry that's been going on for over 20 years, every Monday night, open to anyone who wants to come free of charge. The Elves Club that's been using the church space every Christmas to feed hundreds and hundreds of families. I believe it was 700 plus families that were cared for last year. And then Power Walking that Carol takes care of here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, open to anyone who wants to come and do some exercises here in the gym. And, you know, so many other things that I'm sure over the years that would have been impossible if this was set up as a traditional sanctuary with pews that were, you know, screwed into the floor and a full stage. You know, I want to commend you, actually. I want to take a moment and thank you for all the hard work of setting up and tearing down for so many years. Thank you to those of you who continue to help with that week in and week out. I appreciate that because if it was left up to me to have to do that every week myself, that would be incredibly challenging. So I want to just say thank you again for your sacrifice of time and energy and effort week in and week out. We really appreciate it, and I really appreciate it. But the reality remains that this is a functional gym first and a worship space second. I just want to ask you to be just quiet for one moment as I just do a little bit of a test, and you'll hear what I mean. So you hear the echo there, and you might not be able to pick it up here if you're listening to this online, but there's such an echo in this gym that it takes, you know, a few seconds for it to really die down, and even then it doesn't. And so, you know, we have some serious challenges in this gymnasium around sound and around the atmosphere. And, you know, the challenges of creating an intimate worship space in this current configuration are absolutely immense. Does this space work the way it is? Yeah, sure it works. Could it be so much better? Absolutely. So I do believe that it's come time that this became a worship space first and a functional gym second. So that when we come and worship God, we can actually be focused on Him instead of the bouncing sound that sometimes is so distracting because of the hard walls that have no sound absorption, no sound panels to help absorb the echo in here in this gym. So that it doesn't feel like you're walking into a Costco warehouse with the fluorescent lighting, but into a space that's designed with the purpose to help people engage the presence of God. Now, with that being said, I want you to hear me very clearly that the gym would be upgraded in such a way that it could still be used as a fully functional gym as it is today. So what does that look like in the gym here, in our space that we're currently in? It looks like sound deadening panels and acoustic treatments being added to the walls to eliminate the loud echoing. It means new lighting that can be dimmed, actually, for better control. And so we can actually raise and lower the lights rather than just having them on or off with our current fluorescent tubes. You know, and the parts of the sound system being actually mounted to the wall to make it easier and quicker for setup and teardown. For those of us that do that, we want to see this entire church be used for more interaction with the community, a place where people can come and discover God and meet people who reflect His presence. That's number one. Number two in this three priority vision. Number two, to refuel and launch new ministries in our church. You know, we just launched our youth and young adult ministry and young marriage ministry. We launched a men's ministry, all of these things over the past year. And this year isn't even over yet. And God's laying on my heart to begin a preteen ministry and a seniors ministry and maybe other things that God's speaking to you about that you want to head up and that you want to start as well. I mean, the opportunities and the possibilities are endless. God speaks to all of us and wants to use us in different ways to reach different people. We need resources, actually, to fuel the existing ministries and seed finances and resources for the new ministries in the future. Because the reality is that we can have a great idea, but if we haven't planned for it, if we haven't budgeted for it, and we haven't planned the resources for it, it's really hard to launch into that with real force. And so if you believe in discipling and reaching out to those who are far from Jesus, we really need to plan resources to help launch those ministries that don't even exist yet. And that's what this is about. We want to plan that over the next number of years that we would be able to plan and launch into those ministries with having the adequate resources behind them to make them happen. You know, I also strongly believe in equipping those who are stepping into ministry leadership roles in the church. So being able to equip those people, being able to find training materials to strengthen their ability to lead and grow their gifts is essential. We believe that marriage ministry, for example, is an area of great need in our community. And we want to expand our opportunities to put on marriage courses or retreats designed to strengthen families and couples. You know, this is one of the things that I've seen over a while is that the church, you know, the church has spent too much time being known for what we don't believe in. It spent too much time being known for what we don't stand for instead of what we do stand for, instead of what we do actually believe in. And we need to launch new ministries that will show the community that Jesus is actually for them, not against them. And that's what we want to be able to do as we prepare to resource for the future. So that's number two. Number three, ministry and church planting in the years ahead. You know, I found that we sometimes have a very narrow perspective on church planting. Our traditional view of church planting is sometimes looking that, okay, we're going to go and find a building or a space, and we're going to take, you know, 20 or 30 people from the congregation and start to recreate exactly what we're doing on Sunday mornings here at CLA in that space. And the reality is that this is not what I believe God is calling us to. God spoke this very clearly to me, that one day in the future, and I don't know exactly when that is, but that we would be involved in ministry planting and church planting outside of CLA. And I thought, okay, when we have all our plans and strategies in place, when all our ducks in a row, that's when we'll be able to do that. But what I found God is saying is that when I say go, you are to go. If I can best explain it to you this way, I actually want us to view church ministry planting the same way as planting a seed in the garden. You know, Dr. Abey mentioned that a few weeks ago. It's planting the seed and allowing God to grow that. God's calling us to plant the seed, a New Testament house church, a small group. And God will grow that in his timing. It could take a long time, but it has to happen naturally. You know, and so he's calling us to that. And there's a couple places he's calling us to do that in particular. And that's Roberts Creek and Seashelt. And you know, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we want to plan towards that future and what that may look like. And so that's a part of this. So we're moving forward together in Vision 2016. And I want to encourage you to be part of what God wants to do. We believe with faith that we're going to raise $125,000 over the next 3 years, beginning at the end of this month and concluding in December of 2016. And the leadership of this church through prayer are 100% behind Vision 2016. So much so that the board and the staff have already prayerfully made a financial commitment to the Lord towards the next 3 years to begin by personally pledging to contribute the combined amount of $32,120 towards our $125,000 goal. Church, we are well on our way. Praise God. The work that we're talking about would be done in various phases as the pledged funds come into the church. As part of this church, I want to challenge you now to prayerfully consider what you'll commit to give over and above your tithes. And that's key. This is not to take place of your tithes. This is to go over and above your tithes. And I want to encourage you in this. You know, Leslie and I, as we have been, you know, pondering and praying over what are we going to be able to give personally to this, you know, we had an idea and a goal in our mind of what we wanted to contribute monthly. And we were really honestly wondering, where are we going to find those finances to do that? But we just felt strongly God calling us to give this. And honestly, I have to tell you, it wasn't more than a week later where things happened, where some things came up for Leslie, and all of a sudden, there it was. And not just that amount, but even more. And so God's faithful. When we say yes, we want to make that commitment, God, that you're laying on our heart, he will provide, because what he wants from us is our obedience. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to ask you to pray. And then we're going to bring back these pledge forms that I have prepared for you on Sunday, November the 24th. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to pray, prayerfully consider what you might give. And then on November the 24th, Sunday, November 24th, you'll get a pledge form that you'll actually be able to fill out saying, here's how much I want to commit that the Lord has laid on my heart to commit for the next 3 years, whether that's to give monthly or perhaps even a lump sum or whatever that's going to be. But it's about being obedient to what God has asked you to give, to make a commitment. It's not about the amount. It's about being obedient to what God is asking you to commit and trusting Him to provide all the resources that you need to be able to do that. It's not about how much you're going to give, but being obedient to give what God's challenging you to give. So together, we will see God do miracles, and many people will come to know Jesus in the years ahead. We have a vision. We are moving forward. And we're going to take this step of faith and believe that God is able to provide, as we believe, for the greater things that He has in store for us in the years ahead. You know, I know many of you are probably going to have questions, and some of you are going to need some clarification as this just begins to sink in. And I just ask that, you know, if you have questions, come and meet with me after the service. I'll be in the foyer, and I just want to talk to you and maybe help. Some of the board members will be there as well, and they can just help you to understand a little bit more of the details of what's happening. I'll share more about this in the days ahead and just help to explain. We'll also be setting up some consultation groups to meet with people in the congregation, anyone who wants to meet, and just to feed into this vision as we step into the future. So we truly do believe that God has a future for us, and now it's time to step out into that. I pray that you'll be on board with us. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are so good and that you have such good plans for your church, for your people, for us to grow in this step of faith. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every single person here that you, Lord, would encourage God as they would pray over the next 3 weeks about this commitment, this pledge to you to give out of obedience, Lord, with generosity and trusting you for all resources and all provision. God, that you would just speak powerfully. God, that we would just see this vision come to pass. And Lord, we are really believing that you are setting the groundwork for so much more to happen in our lives and in the lives of people in this community, the Sunshine Coast, in the years ahead. And so Lord, speak to us in a powerful way. And God, I pray for each and every single person here, any needs that they would have. Lord, if they have a need to just be filled with your Spirit this morning, Lord, if they're feeling dry, God, would you just come and fill them? Lord, if they're feeling a sense of just needing a touch from you, God, for physical healing, Lord, we pray that you would bring that this morning. And God, we just pray, Lord, that the vision that you have for us as your people individually, to grow us, to shape us, to mold us, Lord, that would come to pass. And God, that we would be open-handed to you to say, Lord, we just want to walk with you. We want you to lead us. God, we want to grow in you. And so, God, we just pray that. I pray that over every person here. Lord, be with us this week as we go. And Lord, we turn to you. We commit ourselves to you this morning. We pray that you would have your way in everything that we do. And Jesus, continue to lead your church. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.